Welcome to the I Am One podcast, where we chat with Postpartum Support International volunteers to discuss why and how exactly they're supporting the mental health of new families. I'm your host, Dani Giddens. I'm a perinatal mental health certified advocate, a support group leader in my community, and a staff member here at PSI. Hearing one person's story on a podcast changed the trajectory of my life. It was the catalyst to me opening up about my undiagnosed postpartum anxiety, depression, and OCD, processing my own trauma, and realizing that advocacy is my life's work. I'm joined by my co-host, Emily Jankowski-Newton.
It's me. I'm the co-host.
Director of PSI's Climb Out of the Darkness program. We've discovered that there is strength in processing trauma and empowerment in sharing stories.
So that's what we're here to do. Our guests will take us on their journey from pregnancy or adoption through their low, on to getting help and finding themselves again. And finally, how they're making a difference today. As I always say, it's the coolest club you didn't want to join because being a part of PSI means we went through something. And as a result, I've become connected to the coolest, kindest, most fun people that I would have otherwise never had the chance to meet.
One of the most important things that we've learned is that we're not alone. There's something powerful in knowing I am one of many. Whether you're already connected to the perinatal mental health world, looking for ways to support parents and families, or just want to hang out with us in your earbuds, we're so glad you tuned in.
And who knows, maybe we'll hear from you next.
On today's episode, you're in for something a little different because the microphones have been turned. Emily and I were recently guests on the Mom and Mind podcast with Dr. Kat, who has graciously given us permission to share that episode here with you. Today, you'll hear us touch on both the personal and professional sides of our lives and how we got to where we are today. Make sure to find Mom and Mind wherever it is that you listen to podcasts and scroll through Dr. Kat's extensive library covering a plethora of perinatal mental health related discussions. Find her on social media at Mom and Mind or on her website at www.wellmindperinatal.com. And with that, please enjoy episode 275 of the Mom and Mind podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the I Am One podcast are the speaker's own. Tuning into this podcast is not a replacement for therapy or any other form of professional help. Our discussions cover personal stories of perinatal mental health disorders and may feel triggering to some listeners. Your number one priority is to take care of yourself. So if you are in need of support, please reach out to the PSI helpline by calling or texting HELP to 1-800-944-4773 for help in English and in Spanish. At PSI, we want you to know you are not alone, you are not to blame, and with help, you will be well. Okay, let's get on with the podcast.
Welcome, Emily and Dani. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks
for having us.
Happy to be here.
I'm particularly excited to talk with you guys because, we're all involved in PSI in various ways and kind of knowing some of the inner workings of PSI and just how passionate everybody is about the cause and the work really. It's that you can see it so vibrantly at a PSI conference and, it's just really cool to like be with you guys and be able to not only hear a little bit about your stories, but about the work that you're doing in PSI. So we'll just start off, Emily, wherever you'd like to start hearing a little bit about your story.
Okay. Well, the TLDR version is I had a baby and felt sad and then eventually figured out what was going on. But I think it took a while to figure out what was going on because I had a very invested vision of what birth would look like. It was going to be very natural.
Mm, right.
It was not. And I associated a lot of what it turns out in hindsight as hindsight does, were symptoms of like anxiety and depression and OCD. Mm-hmm. But at the time it was like, well, I just had a really difficult birth. Like I was sick. There were more than like normal medical interventions. Like the respiratory people were in, like I was having mm-hmm. like lung things. And like, there was just other stuff that was happening at the same time as labor. And so recovery was really hard physically. And I think I was like, oh, well, I mean, obviously, I'm not myself. I'm tired. I'm anxious about how the carrots were diced or the, I mean, like really weirdly, I was like, honey, I need you to just, I'm going to have to take over. I don't like the way you're cutting those.
Okay. Why? Like why? Really why? Sharp focus on like, details. Yeah.
Super controlling. In a way that wasn't helping me, wasn't helping my husband, wasn't helping the baby. He's turning out mostly okay, to be determined. He's 14. So we'll see. 15.
Is anybody
we'll
okay at that age?
I know. He finished middle school. He got to do most of middle school at home during the pandemic. Secretly was really jealous of that. but yeah, it didn't occur to me that what was happening was clinical in any way until after my second kid was born. And I was like, I'm still really like living on a different level of anxiety than is normal for me. And at that point I was like, oh, I think this is postpartum anxiety, which was really the trifecta. But like, that was the piece that I think was like, I identified with the most. It was also, I think, like at the forefront of symptoms.
Right. Can you I guess for perspective, how long of a period of time was that from when you first started to when you realized what was going on?
My first two kids are 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days apart. Weird.
That's cool.
Numbers are cool. So yeah, they like it was, I don't know, my younger son was maybe like 2-3 months old, and I was like still very like easy to anger, like frustrated. I mean, anyone who talks about postpartum rage, I'm always like, oh, I relate. Like like that was like very present because that was how I was not dealing with anxiety. I don't want to say dealing because I feel like that really mislabels what was happening. I was avoiding anxiety by having rage instead. But yeah, so it was about like 2.5 years or so. And I was like, this is completely unsustainable. And so I was just listening to your story and you were talking about how like you had lived with a level of anxiety that was maybe under control or like high functioning, right? At prior to kids, that was same. So like when it shifted to being more and higher, I was just like, I just had a baby. Like the thing that everybody tells themselves,
right?
Like I just had a baby. Like, of course I'm a little extra right now, but it didn't resolve. So
yeah. Yep. That's quite some time to be suffering at that level and not know it. Just feel like, you know, just feel terrible.
Yeah. It was, in hindsight, it was exhausting.
Sure.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll come back, with you in just a moment. And now, Danny, can you share with us a little bit about your story, your journey?
Sure. It was a dark and stormy night. I'm just kidding. It wasn't. I became a parent almost 13 and a half years ago. I was, the first of all of my friends to have a baby. Still was living in the town that I went to college in. And of the maybe two friends that still lived in town, nobody had a baby yet. Everybody else had kind of moved away, didn't really have community. Was working at the university that I went to, that I graduated from, had a baby, and it was not what I expected whatsoever.
Right.
And that was so frightening to me that I didn't open up about how I was really feeling physically or mentally to like anybody, not like anybody, to anybody. And so it wasn't actually until 5 years ago that I started processing my experience. So I was undiagnosed. I don't know if I mentioned that with postpartum anxiety, depression, and OCD. I have processed that with my lovely therapist, who I see every couple weeks, every other Wednesday morning. And, but I was so shocked by the thoughts that were running through my head, you know, intrusive thoughts. You know, I was completely exhausted. I also didn't know that I had probably lived most of my life with generalized anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a sleep deprived parent, who felt very ragey, you know, mm-hmm. especially the fifth or sixth time that I was waking up in the middle of the night with a newborn. Mm-hmm. I thought I was pretty monstrous, and I was, and I had wild thoughts popping into my head that felt very scary. And of course I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody, even my husband, about them.
Right.
So for me, because I didn't talk to anybody about how I was feeling, it wasn't until I have three kids. It wasn't until after my second was born that I felt maybe 3.5 years into parenthood, I kind of felt like this fog kind of like lift.
Oh, okay.
Maybe three and a half years. And I just felt like, oh, things feel kind of different now. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very, very long time.
Yeah.
To feel like I was in this hypervigilant mode.
Yep.
Like treading water for my life is what I felt like.
Right.
For a really, really long time. And that then when I had my third baby, oh, sorry, Kat.
Oh, no. I was just like, yeah, that is a long time.
That's a long time to tread water. 3.5 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your legs cramping from all of that.
I was cramping all over the place. Yeah. And then when my third child was born in 2015, I remember being in the hospital thinking, oh, well, now for something completely different. Like it was, I feel like love for this little squishy thing. Yeah. Like, oh, this is what it feels like.
Yeah.
Because the first time around, it didn't. I was like, why would anybody ever do this again? Like,
Right.
And then I put on, I presented not like I was feeling inside. It was like how I thought a mom should be, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we all have some similarities in our stories, for sure. It's brutal. It's really brutal to feel like you're supposed to, you know, at least pretend like things are okay, whatever that looks like for you, but inside be like a little bit dying, maybe a lot of it, for that long period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really good at using humor to kind of like brush things off. Right. Mm-hmm. So, hey, how are things going? Woo, this is exhausting, you know, and like make some joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was exhausting, like in all the ways, but
nobody really knew.
Yeah. No, no. They're like, right. You know, of course it's exhausting, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear you. But then I stopped there and, you know, it's easy to kind of change directions with the conversation when you've got toddlers running around. You know, you only get half a sentence in with your friends or your family members.
Yeah.
I wonder if some of that, like, we can joke with other parents, that we can sort of make light of how hard it is because there's like a societal expectation that motherhood, that parenting, that like new, brand new phase, right? Like, just brought the baby home from the hospital, just adopted the baby, just whatever. Like, is going to break most of us to some extent. Mm-hmm. Like, I really wonder how much of how hard it is just normalized. Like, sleep deprivation is normal. Mm-hmm. Hypervigilance is normal. But like, nobody knows.
Of course you're tired. Line. Of course you're worried. That kind of.
But,
right.
But I was really, really not functioning well.
Right.
And for those of us that are over the line, right? Like, there's like, normal, it's not getting in the way of everyday life. And then there's the line. And then there are the people that are on the other side where it's getting in the way. Like, you're not enjoying stuff.
I don't think anybody ever asked me.
I don't know where that line is.
I don't think anybody ever asked me, like, how are you doing emotionally? And that's like a thing, you know, that I ask all my friends now. Like, I check in on day four, you know, postpartum. And I'm like, how are you feeling emotionally? Like, I know you're exhausted, but like, no. And my friends are like, I've had two friends recently say, like, how did you know to check in with me today? Like, it's so hard. And then have that conversation and normalize talking about how you're really feeling, because I needed that so bad.
Yeah. Well, how did, I mean, I assume now, since you guys are talking about it openly, that people around you figured it out, or you told them also because of what you do, but like, how did How did healing, aside from like, you know, therapy and stuff like that, how did healing take place in your life?
Do you want me to start? Or do you want to start?
I can go.
Yeah.
So I think initially I was, so my oldest was born during like the mommy blogging boom. Mm-hmm. So like everyone had a blog. Mm-hmm. Literally parents that I would meet out in life. Oh, I have a blog. You want to follow me? Like I just met you at Trader Joe's, but sure. You know, right. Like everyone had one. And there were some folks who were like talking openly about it, about what they were dealing with, how they were feeling. And I was like, I found myself drawn to that more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, wait, this is because I'm feeling this too. So after my second was born and I was like, well, this is unsustainable. We need to come up with something, right? Mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. I, you know, called my midwives. I found a therapist. I like started the process of like working on myself and like reflecting on how I felt. Cause I was blogging, which I think helped a lot because I was reflecting almost daily on like how I felt. And I wasn't holding anything back. Like I was talking about that bedtime felt like being Sisyphus, like pushing the boulder up the hill over and over and over again. Like it was, everything was just on repeat, you know, mm-hmm. like the laundry was on repeat, the dishes were on repeat, everything was on repeat. And being able to talk about that and say out loud, and I will never forget this, like when I said out loud in therapy, I blame my oldest child for how the birth went. Like, I just needed to say that out loud. Mm-hmm. That was huge. Mm-hmm. Like, do I hold it against him? No. Like, was it really his fault? No. But I was blaming him in some way.
Right. Like a moment of being honest with yourself about how you felt. Yeah. Hearing stuff like that out loud does something. Like when you are saying it out loud yourself, it's like absolutely. Totally one thing in your head. And then when it comes out and you hear it, you like... You know,
whoa. Other thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, eventually I learned about a climb, went and attended a climb locally. I live in Maryland. So I found like the local Baltimore climb and attended. And then I was like, this is my jam. Like, this is like, you get to meet new people. That's a big box I like to check all the time.
So you're an extrovert.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I knew that. I already knew that. Introverts know when there's an extrovert around.
And you're like, is this person one of those extroverts that like I can I can stand here and you can like do the heavy lift on the conversation, or are you gonna grill me? Like, where is this going? Right. Mm, yeah. Mm. So I don't know. Like attending a climb just felt like having real conversations with parents who lived vaguely locally, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like I was having real conversations with fellow bloggers, right? Like we were all kind of being honest about stuff at that point, but I don't think we had bridged the gap to like being in person. And again, I think there's a difference, like you just said, between thinking something and saying it out loud. I also think there's a difference between typing something and like saying it out loud in front of other people. Mm. There's more power there. Like there's right. more release of whatever it was that you were carrying around when you say it and other right. people witness you saying it.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah, that is incredibly healing. Scary, scary AF, but.
Super scary. I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm. But healing. Yeah, thanks, Emily. And Danny, how about for you?
Well, that's a great segue into, I mean, hearing other people talk about how they're feeling. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what got me in here. So 5 years ago, there's a day that I will never forget. It is like the day that changed everything in terms of like the direction of my life. And so I went down into my garage. I turned on a movie for our three kids. Our youngest was like old enough to sit there for maybe like 30, 45 minutes. I was like, okay, I can run down and get on the elliptical real quick. And I knew that one of my very good friends had just been on a podcast to share about pursuing her passion, which was perinatal mental health advocacy. Super cool. And so she shared about her experience with postpartum anxiety and depression and OCD. And I will never forget just furiously pumping away and sweating and listening to her share about her experience and feeling kind of like those chills, you know, of like, okay. Mm-hmm. So she showed me how to do it. I just needed to see, to hear somebody or see somebody, you know, whether you're talking in person or just listening in, on a podcast to somebody share. And I just remember thinking like, okay, like I can talk about what I experienced, because at that point I hadn't even shared with this friend or my husband fully, hadn't had a therapist, you know, connected with a therapist yet. And I've always known that therapy is totally fine and great and fantastic and all the things. I've always been open to it, but I hadn't met with a therapist yet to unpack all the things. And so I heard somebody share their story in a podcast, and that is the catalyst to me finding a therapist and starting to kind of like slide a little, you know, some tidbits in a conversation about my own experience.
And then, like, test the waters a bit.
Oh yeah. And then, so I said to this friend, like, I want to know more about perinatal mental health. Like, what should I read? What should I listen to?
What did she say?
She said, well, first of all, just listen to Mom and Mind. It's like a great podcast. Like, I kid you not. Like, this is not a paid advertisement.
I did not pay you to say that.
No. And again, it was listening to some episodes on your podcast was great, because it was another opportunity for me to hear other people share and to say the things out loud that always felt too scary for me to say out loud, because I thought that I had a complete, you know, character flaw. Postpartum. I thought I was just like a bad person, that I was failing at parenthood. And I wasn't. I was just experiencing something that wasn't my fault. And I just needed some support.
Right.
And I didn't know what it was called, you know, during the, you know, 13 years ago. I didn't know what I was experiencing. I didn't know what to call it. But yeah, hearing somebody, many other people share their stories helped me gain the confidence to also open up. And now I don't stop talking about it.
Nice.
So, I mean, basically every conversation I have with my friends and family are, yeah, I was telling my therapist the other day, you know, like, I mean, it is what it is now. But yeah, so Emily and I were very excited to start the podcast. I don't know. We'll get into that.
Yeah. I'm really excited obviously, like you guys, we all went through stuff and somehow turned a lot of horribleness into advocacy and doing what we can do, how we do it. And it's like all voices are needed and in every way possible. So this is fantastic. So I do want to come back to the podcast in just a moment. But before that, Emily, I know you were saying that, you know, the climb was your jam. And, you know, now doing the climb with PSI for how many years?
Pop quiz. Six.
Okay.
Quick math.
Yeah.
2017. Six. Sure.
Sounds right. That's awesome.
So I was like, carry the two.
Right. I was like, gosh, I hope she can get this because I don't do math either. So
let me grab my abacus real quick.
Right. Yeah. Okay, great. So, you've been doing the climb with PSI for some time and it's grown quite a bit. Can you talk just a little bit about what the climb is? And
if you draw a Venn diagram, like if you draw three circles and let them have like one little bit of overlap where all three circles overlap, then the climb lives in the center of that. And one of those circles is like support group. The climb is a little bit support group. It's not, it doesn't have the format. It's not officially a support group, but it feels like attending support group. The other part, one of your other circles would be doing a play date. Like anytime where you can get parents together and the kids are together and they're entertained and the parents can have like we were saying before, they can get half a sentence, maybe a whole sentence, fingers crossed out of their mouth. Right. Always a good thing because that's community, right?
Right.
And then that last circle is like summer camp. and that's the only way that I can explain it, having watched a lot of Freaky Friday and Parent Trap as a kid, like picturing that Parent Trap summer camp where like you go and you meet your people and you get to like make bracelets and do crafty things. And I mean, maybe we're not all learning how to fence because like not every summer camp is going to be like that, but like you're gonna go to a climb and do a craft and meet other people in a way that feels like faster than a normal, you know, I'm going to the park and I'm going to strike up conversation with another parent that's there because we all know why we're there. Like we're there because we have been through something. Our friends have been through something. We know that parenting is hard and that we really need to stop like only showing the best parts of it and start showing and talking about like all the parts, the hard parts, the messy parts, the there's dirty dishes in my sink parts. Like we need to show and talk about all that. And that's the climb. The climb is a community event. You can have it be a big advocacy event. You could, you know, go to your state capitol and like hold signs and make a big deal about how we need to start talking about these things and having conversations. You could meet up in a local park and just like see if a local coffee shop will donate coffee so that everyone can get a little caffeinated while they're there. Don't forget to hydrate while you're doing that though. The climb can be a big shout from the rooftops, like this is what we're talking about and why we're talking about it. Or it can be like an intimate gathering of friends and friends of friends who just want to like get together and talk about real stuff.
Yeah, it was, remember back a while ago when the climb lived with a different organization for a little bit, I hosted a climb at that time, a couple, I think 2015, maybe.
That's something. How we met.
Oh,
that's right. right. But it was, even back then, I like the very, very first time I did it, a climb I did, I was like a climb. I don't know if I can climb anywhere, but I can walk. And it was like, oh yeah, of course you can walk. You don't have to climb anywhere. And it was me and my husband and our two kids and my friend and her kid. That was it. I made a sign. And I walked on a local, like, you know, paved little trail. And that was it. And then three times after that, you know, it grew and became a bigger deal, you know, 20, 30 people. And then other folks started to join in and co-host the climb and all that stuff. And it became a bigger deal. And we raised some money for the organization. It was just like cool to see it year after year, how different it could look. And it was all of it was welcome. Yes, and I think that's exactly. Still like this, that kind of spirit of the climb is what I love about what you guys are doing with and for PSI to create the space for people to show up however they can. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And you could come and attend the climb and be there just to support a friend, but also secretly be checking it out for yourself.
Right. Yeah. Nobody has
common
to know,
occurrence. Really.
Right. For sure. For sure. Yeah. Leaning on community to just see what's what. So, Danny, when did you join in?
I joined in. Dang it. I should have looked at my calendar.
Oh,
I don't
gosh.
Remember what year
I'm
it was.
I'm asking all these questions.
Thanks, Kat.
Hard hitting.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It was when was it? It was probably like, it could have been about 5 years ago that I attended my first event. The same friend that was on the podcast was a climb leader in my town. And she's like, I'm doing this climb out of the darkness. You want to come? And I was like, of course I will come support you. I mean, of course I was supporting her, but yeah. She didn't know at the time that it was like, oh man, I totally could have used this, you know, like 13 years ago.
Right.
But I was also going for myself, and I am a bit of an introvert. So I went because I was supporting her. I didn't know anybody else there. But the strange thing was that I felt really at ease with the people that were there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because there were these really great healing activities that we did. People were kind of just like talking about their own experience. And when people talk about how they're really doing, when people are vulnerable, I think it just, at least for me, it puts me at ease. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, oh, like these kind of feel like my people.
Mm.
And so I attended a couple times. And then during the pandemic, I jumped on board as a co-leader. And, you know, this is probably my third year helping lead a climb in my community in 2013 or 2023. And so, yeah, I attended first mm-hmm. and then was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. This is also my jam. So mm-hmm.
yeah. She stuck her toe in. The water was nice.
Yeah, the water's warm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the cool thing about climbs is that it's a really unique kind of like opportunity for not just parents to be there and connect with each other on a kind of a peer level, mm-hmm. but it's a great opportunity for, you know, therapists or a pelvic floor physical therapist, like, you know, to come and say, hey, look at these resources, or, mm-hmm. you know, insert any professional that supports folks in the perinatal period to be there at a climb and connect with the people that they're helping. And for people mm-hmm. that need help to know that there is help. That's what I mean,
mm-hmm.
just the opportunity to connect people is one of the things that I love the most about climbs.
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
Oh, because I didn't know like mm-hmm. what was even available. I didn't know about PSI.
Right.
I didn't know what I was experiencing. So yeah, having everybody at the same place is pretty fantastic. So,
isn't it a trip? Like us on this side of things, you know, before you knew about like PSI or resources or whatever, mm-hmm. you felt so like alone and why isn't anyone doing anything about mm-hmm. this or some version of that. And then mm-hmm. you step into this world and you're like, oh, everybody has to know. Everybody mm-hmm. has it. Like this exists. There's yeah. support, there's resources. And you just want to go and scream from every.
We're shouting from the rooftops. But in order for me to get to a climb, I needed to be willing to talk about how I was feeling, or at least be mm-hmm. open about mm-hmm. like attending an event. Anyway, it all of the pieces work together. Mm-hmm. And so anyway,
it's magic.
For anybody not listening, that's probably going to be edited out. That was a mind blown sound effect.
I love it. It's good. Right. So, I mean, the climb is pretty massive. How many, again, pop quiz, how many climbs do estimated are there right now, like getting ready to go?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So we now have two climb seasons. Back in the day, the mm-hmm. climb was in June,
mm-hmm.
which is
end of June. Yeah.
Right. Which is great if you're in an area of the country that's like hospitable and not like super hot or like monsoon yeah. season or like we're talking about like a international event. So like what's good for Florida isn't good for Maine. What's good for Missouri isn't necessarily good for Southern California. Like mm-hmm. we needed options.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided, okay, why don't we like have a round two in October? Turns out October, most popular climb.
Very,
time.
Very popular with the people.
Yeah.
You know why? No one wants to be super sweaty. Like,
no.
Super sweaty.
Right. So. Right. I mean, I know initially this summer, and in particular, it was like, I think summer solstice or nearby was,
yes.
yep. it was created to be at that time of year to shine the most light on mm-hmm. these issues, which is cool. That's like mm-hmm. a great yes. sentiment. And also 110 degrees is not cool. Mm-hmm. Right. It makes it really hard to participate. And it's not in some states, honestly, it's not safe. To be out in that kind of heat with kids.
That was the feedback we received.
Ah,
yeah.
Unsafe for us to be outside. We're like,
right.
okay, we got you. We will brainstorm recalculating,
anyway.
Recalibrating.
Okay. So June and October now.
Yep. Yep. End of June, beginning of October. So like second half of June, anytime mm-hmm. between the 15th and the 30th. So mm-hmm. it is climb time as we record this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then like first day of October through the 15th, I don't want to compete with Halloween. Also, I love Halloween.
Right,
so,
right. Yeah.
So how many climb teams do we have, Emily?
I'm
reeling
have,
us back in.
Nice. Thanks.
We have like almost
podcast
60.
Yes.
I want to say 65 June climbs and like 85 right now, but like October climbs are still coming online right now. So that number is going to be even bigger at the point at which like we close, you know, I don't want to say applications because it's not like you're trying to apply to Harvard. Like we just want you to register as a climber. There's no yes or no. Like we will take everyone as they are.
Yeah. I think last year we had about 120 or 130 or so, and we are upwards of 180 people or, you know, folks that applied.
We have like 180 teams that are a maybe in the process.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
All of the October climbs are still kind of working through onboarding. But it's the largest number so far, Emily?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. All over the US, but you also mentioned international. What other countries are popping in?
This year we have a climb in Democratic Republic of the Congo in Kinshasa. We probably will have a climb in Kenya. They have been a reliable every year, get the community together. I need to touch base with them to confirm that, but they're probably on board. And then we're actually also doing sort of like a corporate event climb option. So like if you run a business or you like own a business and you want to do a team building activity, like we have an option of that too. So we've got a couple climb teams that are like not listed because they're not public events. They're like a private event for a business.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We also have Greece and we just met with somebody in Japan on Thursday or Friday last week.
Thank you, Danny.
Super
cool. You're welcome.
you guys are such a good team. I love it.
Oh, Kat, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. You guys are perfect to be working together on this.
It's awesome. I agree.
Yeah. That's awesome.
E3.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a lot of work for sure. I'm not saying it's not worth it. It's a big event. And you guys put a lot of time and energy into making these events easy for people to do, accessible for them to be able to do in whatever way works for them and their community. And there's just so much flexibility and so much possibility for how people want to show up. And first and foremost, it's community coming together, finding support, being a support and all of those. And it's also can be a fundraiser for the community. Some of the funds, I mean, can you talk about how that works, about how fundraising works?
Yeah. So PSI, at the US portion of PSI, like PSI is a registered nonprofit in the United States. So any climbs that are happening in the United States, 50% of the funds go to support like PSI's national and international programs, and 50% goes to support whatever programs are happening on a state level. So each state has a PSI chapter. Great work. Chapters team at PSI,
amazing team,
amazing. The fact that we have and not just states, but like Washington DC, so like District of Columbia territories, like all of those are able to be their own PSI chapter entity. So like I think we're in talks with Puerto Rico folks right now, like people in Puerto Rico, to get their chapter up and running, which means we can host an event and then put funds to whatever that community, whatever that state needs. So if they need more trained providers, then we can help make that happen through those funds. If they need more support groups locally that people can attend in person, they can put their funds to that to make that happen. Internationally, it's different because obviously if you're donating to a nonprofit that's not registered in the country that you live in, all of those tax rules and things that apply in the US become different. So in Canada, we're partnering with Life with a Baby, which is a registered charity in Canada. And they are helping PSI Canada and local community programs in Canada, like get funding for whatever their perinatal mental health heart desires to have happen. So
it's very cool
stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that. I mean, because I don't know about for you, but sometimes if I'm donating somewhere, I'm like donating to hopefully, like, I'm pretty sure that money's going to get to somebody who needs it. But with this type of fundraising, you know where like the money is going, and you know it's going back to the community who raised it locally or the community who needs it sort of on a bigger, broader level. It's just such a cool model of fundraising and community gathering. It's just so much good. It's so good.
Yeah. I think the other piece that I want to just acknowledge is so many of our state chapters and like local communities are being really innovative with what constitutes support, like not having food security, like not having diapers. If you think that that would not impact someone's mental health, like I cannot imagine how that would not have a tremendous impact, not knowing like if I have enough formula the next time I run out, like not knowing where it's coming from, not knowing if I'm going to have the diapers that I need when the kid is the next size or whatever. And it's all of those things. And it's therapy. It's
support groups.
Right. It's all parts of parenting, because every aspect of it can be the piece that can make or break any of us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's really powerful. So I want to talk about the podcast as well. But first, can you let people know a little bit more about how they can be a part of Acclaim?
Absolutely. So if you are interested, or if you're feeling inspired to lead an event in your community, you're in luck, because there's still time to sign up to be a Acclaim leader in October of 2023. So I think that Kat will probably leave a link in the show notes or something cool like that to fill out our team registration form, which is due July 15th, if you would like to lead a Acclaim in October of 2023. If you are not ready to lead a Acclaim in October and you are interested in leading a Acclaim in 2024, either in June or October, you can get on our interest list, and we'll drop a link to that in the show notes as well. And we'll be able to reach out to you in the new year and give you all the information you need to get on board with us. And then the other option is, if you are not interested in leading a Acclaim, but you are interested in joining your local event and attending and taking part that way, that's great. We have a map on our website. You can pinch to Zoom So pinch to Zoom on the map and find a Acclaim near you. There are all the events happening in June and October, and you can click on the pin and get all the details for your local event. Most Acclaims
map the event. Like, yes, you can click on the pin and then be like, "I want directions."
And it tells you you'll have details about, you know, if you have questions for the Acclaim leaders, you can email them. Usually the time of the event and the location are all listed there.
That's cool.
And you can find a Acclaim near you.
That's awesome. If people can't get to a Acclaim, like it's too far away or whatever, but they still want to participate somehow, is there an option for that?
Yes. Okay. So the Acclaim map has three different color pins on it. We have light blue. Those are the Acclaims that are happening right now in June. Then we have dark blue. Those are the Acclaims that are happening in October. If you see a purple pin, that's the one for the PSI conference. That's in Kansas City, Missouri. And then we've got yellow pins, and those are all virtual Acclaims. So you can participate virtually in whatever activities we're doing online that week before the Acclaim event. We're doing one this week, and we're going to do it again in October for anyone who wants to participate. And then we will be sending out t-shirts directly to those participants who, you know, raise $100 to earn their Acclaim shirt.
Their Acclaim shirt, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So what you're saying is, if somebody raises $100 or more, they get a Acclaim shirt.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. We have a link to our fundraising platform. So you just make a little page. You know, a great way to fundraise is just if this is your first time kind of like tipping your toe in the water, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I think I want to get involved with this climb thing. Mm-hmm. The first way that I fundraised was by emailing my friends and family and neighbors. I kind of figured, okay, if I'm going to send a holiday card out to people, then I think I'm going to also send them an email about this really awesome thing that I'm doing. And I was mm-hmm. blown away by people just saying, oh, wow, that's really cool that you're doing that. Yeah, I'll donate $5 or 10 mm-hmm. bucks or whatever. Mm-hmm. Totally blown away. Right. I did raise more than $100, which was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, a lot more. And it was, my mind was blown. But that's a great way to kind of ease into fundraising.
That's you know? Cool. That, yeah. I do love that too. Like every $5 matters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's you don't have to, there's no pressure for it to be some like massive amount of like mm-hmm. money or whatever. Like mm-hmm. those, all of the dollars matter.
Yeah.
No matter yeah. how, what size of donation you mm-hmm. are able to offer. Yeah. Say I had the same thing, Danny, when I was fundraising, like I'm like, I'm going to do what? You want me to ask people for money? But once I like set myself aside, I was like, oh, this isn't for me. I'm not like, yes. pay my bills.
Yeah.
This is like, because I went through some stuff and I'm super mm-hmm. passionate about this and I want to help other people. Like yeah. I had to take myself out of it. And then it felt much easier. Mm-hmm. Introvert issues, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. Yeah. I think that a lot of people are a little bit worried about the fundraising aspect. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I always
That's
tell climb
why it's
leaders,
optional.
Yep. Mm-hmm, when I'm right. first meeting with a first time climb leader, I'm like, listen, there are teams that raise $10. There are teams that raise $30,000. We don't keep a list in our office of like our favorite teams because they've raised the most money. You know, fundraising is part of it, but there's no pressure from us to
right.
raise a certain amount of money. T-shirts just cost money. So if you raise $100, then we can send you some, right. you know? Yeah. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's another, one of the reasons I love this is because it is absolutely community and support first.
Yep.
It's so cool. It's so cool. Okay, great. I will add links, you know, and all of that, at the end and remind everyone when and where and how. Thanks for that info, but I do really want to also get to the podcast. I Am One Pod. So tell me about this baby.
Danny, this is your baby.
Oh, this is me?
Danny. Yeah, oh. Danny, tell me about your podcast, baby.
Forgot I was on a podcast for a second. I'm kidding. So this was something that, I don't know, Emily, when was it? 2022, early 2022, we started kind of throwing around all kinds of fun ideas of projects mm-hmm. that, you know, we want to do in the climb office. You know, we started talking about doing a podcast. Like, we should really talk to our climb leaders. We, you know, and that kind of morphed into I was also a peer mentor at PSI, and I volunteered in a different way as well, besides just being a climb leader. And I was like, I wonder, maybe we should talk to other people, right? That volunteer and work at PSI. That's kind of what it's morphed into. Mm-hmm. First, we were thinking of just talking to climb leaders, but we want to talk.
And most climb leaders wear more than one hat anyway.
Yeah, and
so
that's
like
the thing.
Asking them to just talk about the climb, they'd be like, "But let me tell you about being a coordinator."
Yeah.
Like, okay, go ahead. Tell me about being a coordinator.
It has morphed. So we on the I Am One podcast, we talked to PSI Postpartum Support International staff and volunteers and board members. Kat, come on over. Water's warm.
I'm ready.
We'll talk to you later.
I have a microphone.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Awesome. She's ready.
Right.
Okay. So we talk about, we touch a little bit on their own personal lived experience. We talk about how they got well and what they're doing now to support folks in the perinatal period.
Nice.
And it's really fun sitting down. I'm of course passionate about this because this is the thing that sparked a fire in me and completely right. changed the trajectory of my life.
Right.
And so, yeah, this is really important to me.
So everybody listen.
Yeah.
I love it too, because it sort of, how can I say it? Like sort of pulls back the curtain a little bit on PSI and the folks in PSI, what people within PSI does, what PSI does for people. And it's so easy, I find, kind of being on this side of kind of being more internal to PSI than, you know, let's say however long ago. You like being not understanding what all goes into an organization. It seems like, I don't know, organizations should be able to like shift and move. And why don't they do this? And how come they don't do that? And sometimes PSI is already doing the things that people think they should be doing, but they just don't know about it yet. And so this is, you know, one of the awesome ways that people can really see how much work and passion and everything goes into to what PSI does, who PSI is.
It feels very much to me kind of like, you know, we were talking about that intersection at a climb of providers being there and new parents being there and maybe some veteran parents being there and kind of all connecting in one place. I feel like podcasts are a great place to attract all of those people as well. We're talking to people who might be, you know, people might think, hear the podcast and think, wow, like I've been trying to figure out how I can support folks in the perinatal period. Maybe I can volunteer. Or professionals thinking like, oh wow, I didn't even know about PSI. Maybe I might want to get, you know, pursue being perinatal mental health certified so I can better support folks in the perinatal period. Anyway.
I think for me, like thinking about when I first got into this work, I was also with the climb at the organization that birthed it and grew it while it was in preschool. And then, you know, at the point at which that organization folded and asked PSI to take on the climb, I, you know, sort of sat around and Wendy was like, hey, and I got pulled in. But that was the first time that those initial conversations with Wendy, like our executive director, that was the first time that I started to realize the scope of what PSI was already doing. And so for me, this is like that passion project. Like it's, do you have to be a therapist, a psychiatrist, a doula, or a midwife in order to have an impact in this space? Absolutely not.
Nope.
Like there are so many ways. Like a lot of times the stories of getting better include therapy, but it's not like I went to therapy and suddenly I was better. Therapy is one part of like their larger trajectory. And it always includes people who are mental health professionals and people who are not mental health professionals and everyone in between, people who are both the mental health professional and the survivor. Yeah. Like we need to tell the stories of all of those folks who are doing this work. And so that's why I'm super excited about the podcast, because there are so many folks who, like one of the people we interviewed is, she works with horses. Like she works on a farm with horses and does animal care and does this, like, this is her favorite pet side project. Like she's making an impact.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I thanks for bringing in that point too. I think, yeah, it's the old view in my mind of what supports mental health is that it's just the therapist and whatever psychiatrist and all that, which is great. And I mean, I'm not
100%
bashing myself. I'm a therapist. Go to therapy. But
yeah,
it is, it, to your point, it is so much more than just that. There are so many ways that people can get support during this period of time. And like for you guys being able to share all those ways, it comes through story. It comes through people's experience, which really not only shares like the what, like, or like the thing that you can do to get help, but the like real life experience of a how that help supports somebody. It just like brings it all to life so that people can see what's available to them. Magic.
Yes.
Like that's just magic.
That's why we're doing what we're doing.
It's really cool. So where can people hear this podcast of yours?
They can listen to our podcast on their favorite podcast listening platform. It's available on all major platforms. Nice. So just type in I Am One Podcast.
Can you say before we wrap up on that, how did you come up with the title?
Well, we reflected on several names and we kept coming back to one of PSI's motto is that you are not alone, you are not to blame, and with help, you will be well. And it really helps people remember that they are not alone in experiencing what they're experiencing. I felt very alone, and I know now that I wasn't at the time. And storytelling helped me feel like I was one of many people, right? Mm-hmm. That experience something, that go through something that rocked my world. And I wasn't alone. So the fact, you know, the idea, I am one of many, mm-hmm. was one that we kept coming back to. So that's where I Am One comes from. And so on every episode, we let our guest name their episode. Nice. So they can kind of just explain how they identify with I Am One. And mm-hmm. so you'll notice these are, I think I named the first couple episodes and then we thought, what are we doing? We should just have people name their own episode and you will, you can see that when you check out our podcast.
Super cool.
Yeah. Emily, so what are other ways that people might identify with I Am One?
Yeah. So we have not a lot of statistics about perinatal mental health because there isn't enough research. Cough. Can we get some more research with more stats?
Call to action.
But there's this debate, or I guess it's over, at least it's over in my mind. 1 in 5 mothers versus 1 in 7 mothers. I think it's based on like the period of time in which that statistic is gathered. It's 1 in 5 mm-hmm. in the first year, and it's 1 in 7 in the first 3 months postpartum, right? And so like I could say I'm 1 in 5, but what if you're not 1 in 5? What if you're 1 in 7? What if you don't identify as a mother? Well, it doesn't matter. Like you are one. You are one of us. You are one of whatever the statistic is. You were 1 in 10 dads. You're one of us. So I Am One became I Am One because the number after it doesn't matter. It matters that you are one of it.
Yeah, it's a great. Thank you for that, both of you. It has its own power just in that title. It says a lot. Yeah. Kudos to that title.
Kat.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Well, I appreciate you guys so much for coming on and sharing your time and all of the amazing work that you're doing in so many ways that you're impacting people's lives. It's just phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on the podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the I Am One podcast. Check out today's show notes where we'll drop links to all the important things that we mentioned in this episode. Please consider sharing about I Am One on social media and following and rating our show wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. It only takes a minute of your time and, well, that'll help our collective mission of bringing resources and local support to folks worldwide. From everyone here at PSI, thanks again for listening.